So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, of course, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show this week, hosted by myself and joined by special friend Connor Neckleput, who joins me in the studio now. How you doing, mate?
All right.
just all right.
It's a Wednesday evening. Yeah. There's not much to say. I'm here. I'm not out partying.
Because you party so much when you're not here.
No, it's because I do the show.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's why you don't party, is it?
Yeah.
Nothing else to do with.
Well, occasionally I do come to the show really quite sober. And that's always fun.
Yeah, you make yourself sound so rock and roll, but.
Just trying to be modest.
All right, so do remember you can keep up with us throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC, and check out the best of at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. You can also email us if you have any questions about the show or want to take part in the White Noise After Show. Send in your questions or thoughts about the show to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. We will have a bunch of wicked music lined up. We already have a bunch of wicked music lined up for you for the after show. We've got Velveteens. We're going to play some more Public Library. Not Public Library. The Burning Hell.
Burning Hell.
Off their album Public Library. There's Kate Le Bon we're going to play. We're going to play some Sunflower Beam.
Gems.
Gems, yeah. Literally gems by gems. Yeah, so we've got lots of different stuff there. And we're going to be talking about the UK referendum. We're talking about the Lewandowski got fired by Trump, his main, what do you call it?
When did he stop playing football and start?
No, he's not that same footballer. It's German, isn't it? It's a German footballer. No, he's the lead...
Campaign manager.
That's the word I'm looking for. So we'll talk about that and some
Chief
other...
Chief executive of how to lie intelligently.
yes, but apparently not good enough. So no, we'll talk about that apparently on the after show. But without further ado, it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Magnum Condoms, the leading condom in being purchased for a joke. First up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Artisan Crafted Handguns, Crack Zero, and of course, the world's famous mustache-powered bike, the Mustache Rider. Comes the new hipster sensation. So are you fed up with feeling envious of your friend's massive record collection? Want to poke them in their smug eyes? Well, then look no further and purchase the latest in retro audio entertainment, your very own medieval court jester. Originally invented in ancient Egypt, this antique design will suit any stylish home and comes pre-programmed with all your favorite tracks, such as...
Hey, nonny, nonny, the king's so great.
And...
YMCA, it's fun to be in the Y.
And of course...
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what you want, what I really, really want. I wanna zigga, 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 make you say whoa.
Act now and receive a free guillotine to perform traditional jester beheadings. Warning, guillotine use may void warranty.
I wouldn't make a good jester. I don't have the legs for tights. Next up tonight, someone's buying a house.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Vancouver's Premium Realtors, Raining Money, where the more you buy, the more we care. How may I help you?
Hi there. I'm looking to make my first home purchase.
Okay, and how much are you looking to spend?
I don't know. Doesn't it depend on what I want?
No. How much do you want to spend?
Well, my bank said I could probably commit to a couple hundred.
Well, I would strongly recommend not living in Vancouver.
What?
Unless you're particularly interested in living in a cardboard box. I could set up a viewing.
No, like, I want a home.
Then perhaps look at the New West or Richmond area.
I was born in Vancouver.
So? I was born in Chernobyl, but I've been resigned to the fact I can't live there anymore.
Yeah, but there wasn't an explosion here.
Well, not literally.
Well, is the cardboard box south-facing?
No, not for that kind of money. But it's near amenities. You've got 3 vape shops, a dispensary, and 8 coffee bars.
I wonder if that's the cardboard box by my house. It's been on the market for ages. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Oh, Neil, why is it so bloody hot?
Well, partly because it's summer, and partly because you're wearing your bleeding coat.
Well, of course I am. I'm bleeding slightly. Fell off my bike when we go eat sweets.
Oh, no more sweets. You're going to spoil your appetite for dinner. I've got a nice tin of wet food ready for you.
Well, as long as you ain't hiding another worming pill in it.
Nah, you're fine. You've stopped rubbing your ass on the floor.
Well, I'm still boiling hot.
Oh, no. Oh, me too. I mean, you could fry an egg on the pavement today.
What's an egg?
Oh, it's like posh people food. I know. We should just nick that ice cream van we saw last week.
Oh, shit. I'll get the underwear. There it is, by the school.
Oh, I can't see it through these underpants. Oh, we should have washed them. I'm taking mine off. No, the driver's... Oh, driver's there.
Oh, maybe we could distract him.
Yeah. All right, I'll occupy him. You sneak in and you drive the van off and then we meet at ours.
Ours?
You know, the bit of the park we now live in.
Oh, can we call it Carl and Neil's best friend's place?
No.
How about Carl and Neil's Player Palace?
No.
The Bear Boy Lens?
No! Now don't fuck this up, we're nearly out of pedigree chum. Excuse me, sir?
What?
I was wondering if I could, show you something over here.
What are you on about?
You know, something behind the bushes.
Nah, mate, I'm straight.
It's this really cool, shaped rock.
Oh yeah, go on then. Let me just lock up.
Charge!
What the?
No, he's still in it!
Oi, get out of my van!
No, back off, I'm too hot!
Look out, you're gonna crash!
Ah!
What have you done?
Where's Neil gone?
My magnums are everywhere! You broke me, Mr. Whippy, you bastard!
Oh, I'm really sorry, I just sent the bill to my place. We'll sort it out.
Okay, what's the address?
It's Carl and Neil's Player Palace, the park with the big tree, East London. I don't know the postcode. But that's not important anyway. Can you pass me my coat? I'm bleeding a lot.
That Carl crashes more often than a Fox sitcom pilot. Next up tonight, a couple are arguing.
It's fine. You can do it, honey.
No, you do it, darling. I insist.
No, it's fine. I know you want to do it. Go ahead.
No. I insist. You do it. It wouldn't feel right for me to take this opportunity away from you.
Really? But it's not an imposition. You do it. You deserve to be the one.
No. I really have to put my foot down, Fiona. I implore you just to have this one.
Well, I don't actually want to give our child one of my kidneys.
Really? That's so funny. Me neither. I was just being polite.
Me too. How silly of us. Well, then he'll just have to go on the waiting list like everyone else.
Yes, well, we don't want to spoil him.
Yeah, I don't want one of those bratty make-a-wish children.
I've never given anyone an organ, but I once gave someone an orgasm. Though, on second thoughts, that may have just been a seizure. Next up tonight is an interview!
Good evening and welcome to the world's most popular a cappella-based music show, Hear Me Bellow. I'm your host, Angel Harmony, and tonight I'm joined by the sensational and tenacious trio, Thrice Is Nice. Dubbed a cappella's answer to One Direction, this group has sold over 300 CDs worldwide and have graced the top 40 charts a staggering twice. Good evening, boys.
Hello, Harmony!
So, Jamie, you're known as the bad boy of the group. Can you tell our listeners why?
Well, it's just who I am. I'm the nearest thing we have to rock and roll.
You should see his hotel room on tour. Towels everywhere.
And he likes his Coke. You nearly had a whole 2-litre bottle to yourself yesterday.
Yeah, I was up till nearly 11:30.
And Bill, you founded the band, is that correct?
Yeah, back in 1995. We didn't know how to play any instruments, so we didn't bother to try. Just started making noise.
Yes, and yet your first album didn't have lyrics.
No, it was very experimental as far as a cappella goes, but that's what music is about, doing weird shit until people decide they like it.
And Ken, you famously quit the band back in the early days.
Yeah, I went off in a solo direction, but then realized it doesn't really work with a cappella, so I joined back up with the lads after trying it out alone for 12 years.
Do you think your refusal to work with instruments at all holds you back?
Not really. I think it's far more to do with my abrasive personality and tendency towards casual racism.
So what are your guys' immediate plans for the future?
Well, we're going on a huge 3-date European tour.
Where will you be playing?
We're going to be rocking the Weston-super-Mare Public Library on July 1st at 2 p.m. And then on to Weston-super-Mare Retirement Home for a 7 p.m. bedtime show. And then we finish off on the 2nd of July at the same public library. It's all ages, no alcohol, but one guy will definitely be selling some speed.
Definitely worth the trip if you happen to live near the Weston-super-Mare Library. Is there a new album in the works?
No, we are concentrating on the bigger tour and trying to get Jamie off the Coke.
No, I'm never switching to Coke Zero. You can fuck right off.
Jamie, we just can't stand by and watch you destroy your teeth.
Hey, it's okay, guys. It's genetics. I mean, my dad was the same, and his dad. Not his dad, though, because Coke wasn't invented yet.
How can you ski-bop with no teeth?
Oh, shit, I hadn't thought of that.
Maybe I should give you guys a minute.
No, it's fine. We a cappella groups like to bear it all to the world. Just usually, no one's listening.
Well, while they are, one more question. If you weren't a cappelloists, what would you be?
Well, I'd be something casual. I don't want to live to work, so maybe a rent boy.
Oh, and how about you, Jamie?
Probably dad.
And Ken?
Maybe a baker.
Nice.
Or maybe a rent boy. That sounded quite good.
Well, I'm glad to say that's all we have time for. Join us next time when we will have in the hairdresser quartet. Trust me, there will be gossip.
I was in a barbershop quartet, but I decided to leave it once I realized there were no free haircuts. Next up tonight, there's a break-in.
Oh, shit. Oh, I've cut myself. I always forget to bring the band-aids.
Freeze.
Oh, again? You freeze.
Oh,
you have a gun too.
Yeah, of course I do, because I know people like you do.
People like me?
People I want to rob.
Well, I'm gonna shoot you.
I wouldn't do that, because then I'll shoot you, and I've been practicing.
How could you shoot a woman?
What choice do I have? This state has a stand your ground law. The court wouldn't back me up, so I'm gonna have to shoot my way out of here once again. Thanks a lot.
But that's not fair.
We both have guns. That seems pretty fair.
Well, what if I didn't have a gun?
I would have stolen some of the lighter items, and you would have claimed them on your insurance.
Plus my deductible.
All right, so it's $300 or a bullet in your spine.
Or I could call the police.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about those guys. Well, let's hope this state properly funds them. But judging by my record, clearly not.
So what do we do now?
How about you give me the PS4 and a few games, and we'll call it quits.
Okay, but if you take The Witcher 3, I will shoot you in the dick.
I don't own a real gun, but I got an awesome t-shirt cannon. It makes going the laundrette more fun. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Good evening, Elvis and Dolly. Welcome back.
Howdy, darling.
Uh-huh.
After last week's mission, where you were meant to protect the English wags, and instead blew one up, I honestly have no idea how I'm still getting you work, but I have. Nigel Farage has asked me to employ you to prevent Brexit from happening.
Isn't he one of the leaders of the Exit Europe side?
Yes, it does seem a little fishy, but he paid in cash.
How the hell are we meant to prevent breakfast?
Brexit.
Brunch, whatever.
No, Brexit. It's the referendum in the UK on whether they should stay in the European Union.
Oh, the European Union? That's that gay pride group, right?
No, it's... Well, never mind what it is. It's irrelevant. You are just there to make sure people vote for staying in.
Okay, so, how much C4 do we need?
None! Zero! Nilch! Null! Nothing! Nada! Doremo! Nicto! Get it?
So, like, a couple of bars?
Are you kidding me?
Fine. I'll just take the claymores. I get it. I still don't get it. What are we doing?
We gotta go house to house and make sure people are voting.
Hello? What do you want? Elvis?
Hey, Foxy Mama.
Am I dead?
No, we just wanted to ask you who you're voting for in the referendum.
No, I'm fine. The doctor changed it yesterday.
Are you voting to stay in the EU?
No, I don't want any of them lot here.
Who?
Them people with the accents.
Oh,
Cockneys, that's it. Yeah, loads of them moving here since the EU started straightening the bananas.
Well, if you'll just read this pamphlet, it will explain the pros and cons of leaving the Union, including the cost and demands of continuing trade with the rest of the EU bloc.
M85! What would I give a flip about that? By the time you get to my age, being racist is all you've got. That and watching American Ninja Warrior. Oh, I like the legs.
Maybe some lunch?
Might as well. There's a pub on every corner here. What a waste of time.
I don't know. This beer is pretty good. And those women actually look pretty easy.
What about the mission?
Whatever. We were doomed to fail.
Well, what if we actually did pull it off?
Yeah.
I've been looking at the data, and it actually seems like we might do some good if we help keep them in. Not just here, but for the whole world economy.
And I could get so much English muffin.
I'm just gonna pretend that's about cake. The UK needs your vote. Vote for the Union. Look at America. That's basically 50 countries squashed together. How can you compete on your own against that?
Piss off back to America, you plastic tart.
Oh, charming. What happened to British politeness?
You've watched too much Downton Abbey.
But the ones you meet in America are so polite.
Yeah, us thugs don't travel so much. We prefer to spend more of our income on getting shittered.
Preaching to the choir.
Well, if you stay in, it's easier to get shittered all over Europe.
I never thought about it like that. Maybe I've been getting shittered all wrong. Thank you. You've opened up my eyes to a world of potential bladdering I could never imagine.
Well done, agents. You successfully converted one person to the Stay in Europe campaign.
So, did they win the vote?
I'm not sure. They hadn't announced it yet when I wrote this sketch.
The EU referendum is a complex issue, but the answer is clear. Get really drunk and flip a coin. Next up tonight, someone has an announcement.
Mom? Dad? I'm getting married.
Oh, honey, that's nice.
Nice? It's huge!
Well, yeah, but it's a bit old-fashioned.
What?
I mean, why not have a nice cohabitation or a life partner? Something a bit more casual and fun.
But me and Kenny are in love.
Really, Kenny? It's not a great name, is it? There was no Prime Minister Kenny.
But he's sweet, and he's gonna take care of me.
You're not a cat.
I'm going to be a traditional housewife.
It's not the easy out it looks like, trust me.
Why can't you just be happy for me?
Because we didn't know better. In them days, everyone smoked, used lead paint, and got married. Now you actually have a choice.
Just put it on the back burner for a while. That's all we're saying.
No, I'm 16. I'll do what I want.
I nearly got married young. Then the bride got cold feet. She fell in the canal and drowned. Next up tonight, a scene from the continuing story of my childhood. It's Blackmore. Beady eyes, bed wetting, and breast examinations. I'm still at the seaside.
Get up, Richard. Time for breakfast.
Oh, what time is it?
It's 5:45.
What?
Breakfast is served between 6 a.m. and 6:05, so hurry up. I want a seat with a view of the bathroom. Full Englishes don't agree with me.
Oh, don't start fighting with the natives again.
Oh, it's nice in here. Very quaint.
That's just a polite way of saying it's too bloody small.
Oh, just tuck your elbows in.
Fine.
Excuse me, young sir. Your elbow is in the butter dish.
Oh, sorry. Here, let me just scrape the butter back on the dish. Pass me a knife.
Leave it. It's fine.
No, it isn't. I'm covered in all your butter, you cheeky cow.
Richard, enough.
What? Fine. I'm having a ciggy.
Oh, you can't smoke that in here.
Oh, for flippin' sake. I might as well have stayed in bed.
No, we have to be out of the building by 8 a.m. and we're not allowed back in till 8 p.m.
What? Oh, are you taking a piss?
No, honest, these are the rules of the seaside.
No wonder this place is only full of people pretending they're not about to die.
That'll be you one day.
No way. I'm going to spend my retirement somewhere cool, like Mars or Pluto.
Why would you want to go to Mars?
Isn't it obvious? There'd be like unlimited Mars bars.
Mars bars don't come from Mars.
All right, fine then. Where do they come from?
Slough.
Perfect. Then I'll move to Slough.
Fine. But now you're on holiday with me, so behave.
Fine. But I want real Camel cigarettes instead of these knockoffs today. No one should smoke Camus. They make you like think too deeply and it's very distracting.
There you go, Richard. A nice sandy beach, a pack of real Camel cigarettes, and there's even some topless women.
Yeah, but they're like 70.
Well, it's practice for the real thing.
I don't know if it's the real tobacco or them women, but someone is making me nauseous.
Just try to relax.
Oh, look at that seagull. He's pecking at that man.
Where?
There. You know, the green-looking one.
Oh, dear.
What?
That seagull doesn't know that bloke's dead.
I always enjoyed the seaside because pools just can't recreate the feeling of being drowned and stung by jellyfish. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
there you go. Another episode of White Noise there. Did you enjoy that, Connor?
That was a good one. It was a very solid effort, I think.
Yeah, none of them really stuck out for me this week, perhaps, but I enjoyed definitely parts of them. Like, certain, like the Camus joke, I was pretty pleased. But I feel like it's a bit pretentious. But I was
it's
like,
a bit sort of narrow-minded.
Narrow-minded. It's a niche joke, I think, is what you mean to say.
Like, no, it's like makes you really narrow-minded.
To think about Albert Camus, I don't think so.
You're implying but not thinking about him, therefore implying that you should be narrow-minded. Because you were saying Camus. Oh, it makes me distracted. It makes me confused. Oh, that's crazy. But you should want to do that. You should want to be challenged.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, horizons. Like, if you know, it's a bit of compared to other jokes, it's not as accessible, is all I'm saying.
No, you'd be right in saying that. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Oh, well, tell you what, we're going to play a song while I explain this joke to Connor, and we'll come back.
Wait, it was a joke?
And we'll do some chat. As I say, we've got some good topics tonight. UK referendum, of course. Trump firing his manager for the election campaign. There's been some weird stuff happening in New York. Surprise, surprise. We're going to talk about that too. And maybe even a bit of the Euros, because we're both English. So we're going to have to talk about it. I'm sorry. But yeah. All right. So first up tonight, we're going to play something by The Velvetines, I think it is. Tines. It's T-E-I-N-S.
A hot second with The Velvetines.
Is the name of the album. That's true. But the band's called The Velvetines, yeah. And the song we're going to play tonight first is Monica Louise. So we're going to play a couple of tracks now, and then we'll be back, so stay tuned.
Bye.
And Connor's just trying to confuse you by saying goodbye. But we will be back. Ignore him.
Monica Louise, you're so hard to please. right, there you go. That was Gems with Soak off Kill the One You Love. All right, yeah, good start with the music.
Yeah, no, I like that. Two very different kind of songs.
Yeah,
both. Yeah,
one picked by each of us there, basically.
Yeah, I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide who picked which, and then whose was the best pick.
We'll wait.
We'll have a poll. We'll have a poll on our website.
All right. So our first question for the after show tonight is regarding the news that Trump fired his party. Why do I keep saying party? His campaign manager.
He's one.
I guess technically, in Lewandowski, who's been there since the start, like even before he announced his run.
So before he was running for president, he had a campaign manager.
Well, yeah, most people do get sort out a campaign manager before you announce your presidency.
Oh, before you announce.
I mean,
you already get
most of your funding beforehand because then you don't have to count it against your fundraising.
Yeah, but, I mean,
there's a lot of prep that goes into it.
This person was there from the get-go.
Yeah, from the get-go. And apparently on the advice of Ivana Trump, his daughter, in partly was a big thing in this, suggested getting rid of him. He was also infamously the guy who grabbed a female reporter rather aggressively at a Trump rally, and his videos went viral of that.
Was
so,
he trying to molest her, or was he trying to throw off
no,
the stage?
No, it was the get out of the way sort of, or like get away from him sort of pull.
It happens.
Yeah, so he's been in all sorts of bits of trouble. But of course, he, on no budget, has managed to make Trump the Republican candidate.
Budget?
They only spent, he fundraised something like $60,000 compared to like $2 million fundraised
the
by
Donald
Hillary.
He's only like a millionaire?
Yeah, but like one thing he's been doing is he's been using his own hotels to hold rallies and stuff. So that it hasn't cost him, or he's like charged himself, so he's like not paid anything because he's just buying his own products, basically.
Oh, so the money hasn't changed hands, but he's still essentially kind of like.
He did self fundraise, but he didn't spend much money. He didn't buy any TV ads because he was getting all this free advertising from television.
Every election, you need it less and less because you've got the internet, which is
yeah,
playground.
But he also had every news network talking about him constantly,
yeah.
Which none of the other candidates had. None of them had it to anywhere near like perhaps Hillary, and probably equally negatively because of the sort of discussion on her her emails and what's been going on there. But what you saw was like in the primaries, you had at times. CNN would cut away from the, you know, or like the speech being given by one of the rivals to just show an empty room where Trump was at some point going to speak later in the day. Like it was that sort of ridiculous oversight of the other campaigners on national television. So, yeah, he ended up getting like 10 times as much airtime on national television as anybody else. So anyway, he didn't spend much money. He got into where he is now, but clearly, like, there's a lot wrong in that campaign. I mean, things aren't going well for them. They're not. The numbers haven't gone up. If anything, they've gone down since he was announced. So he's because he can't win any demographics. Even the one that they think he should have a shoe in, which is the more.
Conservative white
democratic. He's losing apparently a lot of obviously women is a big thing he's losing,
yeah.
But also college educated white men as well are voting for him. Thank goodness that like most of them can see what everyone else can see. Even like there was a couple of Hispanic voters who were typically Republicans because they're very high earning. A couple of them that are very high earning Hispanic voters who believe that government shouldn't be involved in business and, you know, believe the Constitution of America allows for all this, blah, blah, blah. They were saying they just can't bring themselves to vote for someone who's obviously so racist against themselves and and what they stand for. So so he can't, you know, he's losing even what was a typical Republican base. So he's you know, to win only on the white vote, he would have to do better than Reagan did in his second election, which was like, you know, an unprecedented landslide. So he's in real dire straits with this. But it's interesting that he's fired the guy who isn't
he's
part
brought him this far, yeah.
Yes, but isn't part of the new coalition of people he brought in who were meant to be helping him you know, reel it in a bit, you know, a few more prompter reads.
It's and, weird, isn't it?
You know, trying to, as we said before, that pivot to the middle. That's what's
kind yeah, of... but it's strange, isn't it? Because, like, all that happens now is that he becomes a bit less racist and probably does some, like, some pro-Latino, pro-African-American community sort of activations where he's, like, shaking hands with people. Like, but, I mean... Who's he fooling?
But he's also doubled down on a lot of stuff in there. He doubles down on the anti-Muslim rhetoric and also anti-Latino rhetoric. So he hasn't really shied away from those things in the last few weeks. He's still, it's maybe not getting as much press coverage because it's so overheard now. We've just heard him.
And there's other things that go on, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot been going on lately, perhaps. But
just in a side column, Trump's still being racist.
Yeah. But he is still making inflammatory comments all the time. So things really haven't changed. So, I mean, it will be interesting to see, though, in the next few weeks, now that he's gone, how does that affect the Trump campaign? How do they change? It'll be curious. I hope that they crash and burn horribly. But
well, in a plane?
No, you know, only in the figurative sense. But you know, we have to wait and see what happens, of course. Can't predict it. But it's not looking good for him. It really isn't at the moment.
So how is it looking for Hillary Clinton then?
Well, she seems to have ridden the wave. Now that, you know, as Sanders fades into the background now, as he's basically...
Is he going to run as an independent or is he...
No, because he's already said we need to stop Trump is more important than him winning. Like, he's already come out and has hinted that he will basically stand behind Hillary because it's the lesser of two evils, of course. You know, if you're Sanders, I mean, you know, it's a very obvious answer who you would pick out of those two.
Yeah.
So he's going to put his mic behind it. Obama has already come out and started making videos. And so with the full support of the Democrats... She'll sail in because it's, you know, that she is a woman as well will, I think, help a little bit in that it makes it a more sort of iconic win.
Yeah.
And may, you know, inspire people to vote. I mean, the email thing is still lingering over it. She cannot shake it. And the problem is it's an ongoing investigation. So, but having said that, they have cleared it before. But I think what it is that, you know, her people that... aren't in her favor keep trying to like bring it back up
and
rehash it, because Benghazi, I mean, how many times did they talk about Benghazi when that wasn't any different to a lot of other times that American embassies have been attacked in the past, and you know, there wasn't really anything done wrong there, but that got rehashed to death, and that was in 2011.
Yeah,
it's the only reason they can't still bring it up. So the email thing will continue.
It is beating a dead horse a bit.
Yeah.
That being said, we've also just accused Donald Trump of being racist, which we've done a couple of times already. So.
But the thing is, like, I, you know, as far as we can tell, it didn't do anything. Her email, like, it's not like a lot of stuff was leaked to, you know, to put anybody in danger. Like, it wasn't. It was against protocol, but apparently it was also what other Secretary of States had done before, so it wasn't unprecedented at all. So yeah, it does feel like, can we just get over it?
Do you feel like do you feel like people who would have been very pro Sanders are now just going to get in line? Do you think there's going to be a more of an upswelling for votes towards like the other so third parties like the Green Party and such like that?
Yeah, I mean, they'd be daft not to, in my opinion.
Talking about American politics, so that is the name of the game.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some people who want to just, you know, just blow the whole thing up and vote for somebody just to piss off... the fact that they couldn't get Bernie in. Maybe there will be people who do that.
Because I feel like the Bernie-Hillary thing, even just in the popular realm, not necessarily in the actual election realm, or at least the delegate realm, was getting pretty fierce towards the end there. It felt like there was quite a lot of animosity, not necessarily between the candidates, but certainly between perhaps some of their supporters. So, yeah, it was the kind of thing that was making me a bit concerned, because I was like, yeah... It's best to have a united party. So obviously each person has their say. They have their proponents. They go through the states. They vote.
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be a lot of hostility between the two, because ultimately either of them are still a much better option than anything that the Republican Party can push to challenge them. So the fact that there was a bit of animosity there that was going on, that was sort of concerning me for a bit.
Yeah, but there's a reason they have the conventions in July and the election in November. It gives you 4 months to cool off and to forget and to rally round the people that are still your best option. And I think, hopefully, if Hillary's smart, if she's feeling a little concerned towards the nearing election, she might soften her stance on the education and healthcare reform in the hopes of grabbing some of those Bernie supporters. If, you know, if she starts seeing poll numbers that support that hypothesis that she is going to lose because of that, you know, failure, then, yeah, you could see a bit of a swing in her policy to try and get back those voters. Because, you know, I mean, one thing Trump has done is said that he'll support social services and make sure pensions are protected. And he's done a lot to sort of win over blue-collar elderly voters, which is a key demographic in the Democrats as well. So it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
I wonder if he'll have won over Bernie Sanders with that vote.
not from what he's been saying. He's pretty.
You sure the pensions won't be the sort of the clincher for him?
Well, I don't think it's a one issue election, really.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I don't think it'll go that way. All right, let's play a song. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about another story out of America happening in New York, but we'll fill you in afterwards. So next we're going to play a new band. I recently actually discovered them through a review in Enemy of their new album, which is Human Ceremony. And this track's from that album. It's called I Was Home and it kicks ass.
We'll be right back.
was Kubla Khan with LSD off Kubla Khan. And before that, of course, Sunflower Beam with I Was Home. Yeah, I definitely dig those.
Yeah, some cool tracks right there.
Yeah.
We've had a good vein of stuff recently. I'm not sure if this is the stuff coming into the CD library we often choose from here. But we've had some really cool CDs that I've been introduced to.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's the thing. There's always good music being produced at any day, any time of the month, every year. And yet, you know, because it gets like, I know a lot of people like that who say, like, there's no good music anymore, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you stop looking, I think, is part of the problem.
Well, it's like you're just looking in the wrong places.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact is, there's actually more bands than there's ever been. So,
and every day is more and more.
Yeah, yeah, so just by law of averages, there's got to be some good music out there still. And I think we hopefully do sort of, you know, at least prove that somewhat each
you
week.
You use
here
the law of averages, though, but then I count you with Murphy's Law, in which everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Okay, enough sayings. Let's get on
you
with
started
it.
Anyway, so what do you have up next on your mind?
Okay, so our next topic is a sort of breaking news. This is happening today. What occurred was in New York, a man was who very tragically lost his daughter to heroin addiction at the age of 20 years old, was caught with two other friends, a man and another and a woman, going into New York, and they were stopped by the police only because they had a cracked windscreen mirror. And then upon further investigation, they found they had a cache of weapons, including assault weapons, handguns, all sorts of things. And they said the reason they had them is because they... he's messing with a bloody magazine in front of the mic. Sorry. He's just... Oh, you just... So they were caught with this cache of weapons going into New York. I'm not laughing at the story. I'm laughing at him just irritating the hell out of me. Thanks,
no, he
Connor.
Is actually laughing at the story. he thinks it's really hilarious to drive into New York with cache of weapons.
And they said they were going to basically rescue another 16-year-old girl from drug dealers, and they were basically going to shoot whatever drug dealers they came across in their pursuit of this 16-year-old girl. So it raises the question of vigilante justice. And, you know, obviously this is really tragic what happened to his daughter, and you can understand the drive behind wanting to prevent this happening to other people. And he obviously feels that the police and the government have failed him, and so has taken it upon himself to try and save a girl. And so obviously the, you know, obvious answer here is that you shouldn't ever do anything vigilante, and, you know, the reason we have a justice system is so that we have fair trial, and that, of course, you know, murdering anybody by most states and most, you know, countries in the world is completely
it's
never allowed. You know, we don't have the death penalty in a lot of countries, and it's not something that most people agree is necessary. So what do you, but you know, you can't help but feel a little bit sort of, you can't feel, you know, you can sort of see the rationale behind what went on here. So is there ever just cause for doing something like this, Connor?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like the plot to a thriller, like a Tom Cruise action flick.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen God Bless America, where they basically go and just shoot up anybody that they dislike, and it's mainly reality TV stars are their target? Like, it sort of feels like one of those things. And so maybe that's why some people are just sort of, yeah, intrigued and sort of will feel for him. And, if you know, it feels like something out of a movie, but it doesn't justify it, surely.
No, not at all. It's weird. It's one of those news stories that you almost kind of like want to know what would happen if he went further, if they hadn't stopped him.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, I don't want to read that, you know, poor guy got shot up. Accused of being a drug dealer and accused of having this, that, and the other. Obviously, as someone who has no connection to the events, I don't want to interpret just what the news tells me.
I mean, it was in a weird spirit in that, like, they posted a photo on Facebook on their way down of them smiling, like, driving up to New York. So that, like, the mood in them wasn't exactly like taxi driver.
Wasn't
like,
murderous, yeah.
Yeah, it was well, I guess they wanted blood, but they obviously thought, you know, it was a hero's mission, and they were in good spirit on the way down. So
sounds a bit like Robin Hood, really. Sounds like every good vigilante brigade.
Yeah, but Robin Hood stole stuff. He didn't necessarily murder people to steal stuff.
Yeah, but I think the threat was implied.
And maybe I'm reading too much into the film version. Maybe in real life it was a lot more bloody than that, you know, being the Middle Ages.
Yeah, I think there's not a huge difference between threatening someone and saying your money or your life. I'm not sure that was his quote, but nonetheless.
It was like the highway robber quote.
Yeah, or just killing someone.
Well, yeah, of course there's a difference between a threat, you know, if there's no, if you didn't actually intend to do anything.
If you deliver a threat, what is, obviously you could be bluffing, but the perception of which is not meant to sound like a bluff. It's meant to be taken as a legitimate threat.
Of course, but that's psychological manipulation in that, like, if you walk into somewhere with a plastic gun versus a real gun, it is different, I think.
Do they have standard ground laws against that?
Well, if you shot someone when they pulled a plastic gun, and you shot them, you would probably, if they had a stand your ground law, they would probably say, well, it was fair enough, it looked real, I can understand why you would shoot that person. Yeah, probably in the few states that have that.
I swear I couldn't tell it was a Nerf gun or just...
yeah,
just
I mean, when it sprayed water at me,
orange thing, yeah.
I wasn't sure what was going on.
I thought it might have anthrax in it.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a funny story, this one.
It's just a bizarre one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, like, something I've never really quite seen before.
Yeah, and like, I feel for the guy, but I'm like, you can't go around just shooting people that you think might be connected to what was going on, and,
yeah,
you know.
But evidently, he really did think that he was connected to something that was going on, because he was going in, like, I mean, potentially with no expectation of coming back.
I guess so.
Arms cash. You're not going in to use the one gun, are you? Or...
But no, but they were going to rescue a girl, so they clearly thought they were going to get out and bring her home. So there was, they clearly thought they were getting out.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, but then also begs the question of why, like, the 17 guns?
Well, I guess
unless they were arming a mob.
Well, they didn't know how many people they were about to take on, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know how many guns they were, but cash, I mean, assuming more than three... I don't know. It sounds like you're ready to fight a brigade.
Apparently, they had 7 guns, including rifles, knives. They also brought some cannabis, which is important, obviously.
That's what got them pulled over.
Body armor and 2,000 rounds of ammunition.
So
they were definitely going to make some noise.
Sounds like the beginning of Reservoir Dogs.
They had an ammunition can labeled "Shoot your local heroin dealer." They claimed to be on their way to do an extraction of a 16-year-old girl who was being held by a drug dealer.
Maybe,
I mean, it does sound like the plot of a movie.
Maybe they were special forces. Maybe they were just going deep cover.
No, that was...
Because I don't know where else you'd get that many guns
in America. If you go to gun shows,
Was he not coming through the Canadian-US border?
No, he was in America.
But he got stopped at the border or something like that, or he got stopped... Like,
he got stopped driving into New York because he had a chipped window.
Oh.
That was the only reason he got stopped, was because, yeah, he had a bit of a nick in his window.
And then they smelled the cannabis and went, you got guns in here.
Well, it's America, so they can make you get out for literally no reason. And his, I mean, his...
He
was also in a massive truck with, like, targets on it and stuff, so it, like sights, like, you know, they draw a sight on there and stuff. So it kind of looks... like you're going to shoot someone. I mean, the truck was super modified in neon. It's a very bloody obvious thing, if you ask me.
It sounds like, yeah, I mean, only reinforcing this idea, it sounds like some sort of weird soul plane, like night and day kind of thriller. Yeah,
bizarre.
Crossover.
All right, let's play another song and we'll come back. We've got a little bit more chit-chat before we get out. So next we're going to play an artist who actually has been on the CITR radio, but I personally haven't played anything by her yet, and I'm very excited to play this song today. I've been listening to this album personally a lot this week. This is Kate Le Bon, and this track's called I Was Born on the Wrong Day.
Nice seems, no doubt, he's 15 for your money, dream of copper calendars. Laughter in the drive. I was born on the wrong day. I met my mother and I just stole those. Oh, teach me words like fair.
sausages from foreign papers in a glass, or take it back to milk and the fluttering of hands. I was born on the wrong day. I met my mother and I just didn't rose. Oh, oh.
Sports team won a game of sports on the weekend, and the city went insane. Of course we did. We set a bus and a couple of cop cars on fire. Victory smells like burning tires. I've had a passion for the game since I was a little. Like a menorah in the desert. A paramedic was a one-eyed former vet. As she peeled away the wool and the skin, a sergeant appeared to my great chagrin. Said, "It looks like we have caught you as red-handed as it gets." You call it violence, I call it an altercation. Tomato, tomato, they're two different fruits completely. Don't take the good times away from me. Jail was not exactly like the movies. Befriended a shy con artist named Douglas the Duck. We played poker with paper we pretended was cash, and he always beat me at balderdash. He could lie like a rug and he was slippery as a hockey puck. The head warden was a donkey with the face of a man. Day he goes, "Boys, things are changing down here at the pen. The games room is restricted to alternate Fridays, and you know what they say, it's my way or the highway." "Well," Doug said, "Warden, I guess we'll take the highway then." You call it a riot, and yes, I guess that's just what it was. You ask me why then, and I can only answer just because. Does a fish need a reason to splash around in the sea? Don't take the good times away from me. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away.
Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away. Don't let them take the good times away.
Oh yeah, there we go. Burning Hell with Good Times off Public Library.
So what was that song about? I didn't like...
It's about a riot. I'm not sure which one it is about. They're from the East Coast of Canada. But it's about a hockey riot, I'm pretty sure, and how it was just a bit of fun, according to them, and the police shouldn't get so upset about it. I think is basically their point. I don't know if I agree with that completely, but, you know, cost of public place, you know, the damage that's caused and the cost of people getting pissed in the street.
Yeah, but you know what?
Go smash up your own fucking house.
As long as they're happy, right?
Well, it was only a cop car we burned.
Yeah, we were pretty chill. I mean, we won, so what do you expect?
all right, so one of our last topics for tonight is tomorrow.
Today, even.
Well, yeah, very right now.
It is now today.
It is now today in England. And they are going to the polls right now to vote on whether to stay in the European Union or to leave. This is a very complex issue. Because there's so much sort of that wraps us up with the EU in terms of legislation, trade rules, ability of workers to move around.
I mean, you could spend the rest of your life trying to research the relationship in any country in the EU, and it'll take you a lifetime.
So there's a lot at stake, as far as we can tell. It's apparently a very close vote at the moment.
Seems like it might be, yeah.
Interestingly, though, one thing that might sway it is votes from abroad, because if you have you registered to vote in the last 10 or 15 years in Britain, which, of course, includes a lot of Australian, Canadian, American migrants.
Just expats, yeah.
Then you are allowed to vote. And I think what would be interesting to see, but I would assume that a lot of those people that left appreciate, due to their own personal experience, the value of immigrants to a country and the difficulty to go between countries and what it means to people to be able to do that. I think because of that own experience, it could be that a lot of them would vote to stay in the EU. And also it means that if they want to move around Europe, it makes it easier for them. And
I think
so,
also just like almost even just geographically, you have a different perspective on things. It's no longer kind of us and them.
That's
it's
what,
it's
yeah.
sort of like a, oh, the UK and the EU, because this is the UK that I'm English, but my cultural perspective now has been skewed by living abroad, wherever that may be. Yeah,
clearly, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, is that experience of themselves will hopefully weigh on what they believe. I mean, there may be some people that left because they didn't like the way things were going.
They left because of the EU, yeah.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But what's interesting is that if you look at it, even if they did leave, because they would want to trade with the EU still, they would probably be required to follow EU standards still to be able to trade with them. So, you know, if you know, whatever it is you want to sell there are specifications that the EU demand of you for those products, then you're going to have to make them that way. And if you're purchasing things from Europe, they're going to come with those specifications. So in reality, it means we will still have to put up with what it is to be in the EU in a lot of ways, but we won't have any say anymore.
Yeah.
At least the UK will have no more say in it. Also, you will still need to have the free trade, the free movement of people in a lot of the same ways that exist now so the economy isn't adversely affected by the us leaving. So that probably won't change much. So, you know, in reality, because of where they geographically are and the reality of the way that their country's set up and that it's not an autonomous country, it requires a lot of imports from all over the world and a lot from Europe.
As in many of the world's major economies, nationally and now supranationally.
Well, you know, anywhere like Britain that has very limited land, you're going to, you know, there isn't the room for all our agriculture. Yeah. There isn't the room for all the manufacturing that they need. So the imports are going to be there. And so it doesn't really change a lot. And they talk about, well, it costs them all this money to be part of the EU. But apparently, if you look at the data, even though they do pay so much a year to be in there, because of the cost difference, if they weren't in the EU with the sort of discounts they get in trading, it actually doesn't work out cost effective to leave.
If it really was cost effective to leave,
yeah,
the government would have done it ages ago. And we have the leaders of both major parties coming together for one of those kind of very few rare times, going like, hey, we think this is the best decision because I'm the guy who runs the country. He's the guy who thinks he could do it better, but he agrees with me, and we agree with the prime ministers who came before us, who led the country and who know what they're talking about. So, I don't know. I think if you have that many people who have been leading the country or aspire to lead the country, besides perhaps Boris Johnson, coming together to say the same thing, it makes you wonder why if those negative aspects of staying in the EU are really that true or really that powerful, why it wouldn't have happened before.
Yeah, and one thing that was pointed out, I think, by someone in The Guardian writing, and I thought it was a good point to reiterate, was that what's always important to look at in a revolt of any sort, and this is a revolt if we leave the EU, then you have to look at who is for the revolt. And in this case, a lot of elite people are for it, because what they would gain is the reduction in workers' rights that are protected by the EU, and also they would, you know, basically still be able to get a lot of low income jobs that they already have. They will keep, but they'll have less protection of the employees because of leaving the EU. So it's in their favor, and that's why they support it, because it will actually relax laws that are affecting their business and their profit margins. So, you know, in this case, it doesn't look like the revolution is being led by those who have the best interests of the majority in mind. It seems to be an elite class revolt.
And obviously, when you look at the TV, and there's the Remain and Leave side, people on TV are all politicians for the most part, or certain business leaders, as you've just quite rightly said. But all the politicians who are in the debate, obviously a lot of them line up on the Remain side, and a lot of them line up on the Leave side. But the ones on the Leave side, you look at them and you see them not necessarily, although perhaps as people who truly believe what they're saying, but also as people who have perhaps a lot to gain if their side is successful. I look at someone like Boris Johnson, and I see someone who's aspiring to be secure the party leadership in the Tory party.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like, it seems to me, and everyone's perspective is different for sure, I can't know what he's thinking, but it seems to be more of a political move to within the party, within the UK, rather than anything he necessarily actually truly believes about the EU, but more of like if I can convince people to go on this side, which seems like perhaps a bit of a trendy side, maybe. It seems like a bit of a... there's at least enough support to make it a serious consideration, that if he can help boost that and take them out of Europe, then why can't he be the next prime minister?
Well, clearly that is his whole campaign, is to become the next Conservative prime minister after David Cameron. But you know, he's been very vocal almost about that. Like, it's quite clear that that's what he's about. But again, it's like he's an Eton graduate. Eton being, for those who don't know, the sort of most elite public school. And they all go to sort of Oxford, Cambridge from there, and they're all very, very, very wealthy, very well connected. And so it's like, if you're a graduate of Eton, then really I don't think your opinion counts in politics, because you're part of an elite class and you don't speak for everybody else. You just can't. But I think you have one side of the Leave vote being about economics, but then you, of course, we can't deny and we can't ignore the fact that Nigel Farage is part of is leader of the UKIP, which is really about immigration. A lot of the people that are
immigration. Yeah,
it's a one issue thing, which is it's anti-Islam, but also just anti anybody who isn't from Britain coming into the country. There's just been so much. I mean, we saw Joe Cox, the MP, get killed last week by a First Britain, Britain First supporter, which is another sort of party. And then there's like the English Defence League. Like, there's a bunch of them there, but they're all singing the same tune.
It's funny when obviously the Leave, so yeah, it is made up of different characters and different people with different motivations. But whenever Nigel Farage seems to open his mouth, everyone else goes, ignore him. Here's the real reasons why we should leave the EU. I remember reading a story, and I can't remember which paper it was, but when I was back in the UK recently, about how, he made some stupid, inflammatory, racist comment, and that four or five other Leave campaigners sort of said, ignore that. Ignore him. He's a little bit, just listen to us instead. And they made a big deal about even confronting the audience and the public with the fact that they don't want him to be the icon of this campaign, which in many ways he is, in many ways he isn't, because they've actually done a good job of diversifying the characters who they've revolved the campaign around.
Well, clearly, yeah, they know that that's a losing leader to put in charge.
He lost his own seat in the his own running in the last election as well. He couldn't even run his own seat, his own constituency.
Yeah, so that says a lot about him. And it's not fair to say that perhaps everybody within that movement, and that, you know, hence why I say there are some that are doing for economic reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just doesn't seem to be in the best interest of the majority. Really, really doesn't. Okay, we've got one more topic though. Obviously, we'll find out tomorrow if you keep on the news, find out who won. They should know by late tomorrow night.
I hope our team wins.
But speaking of teams, last thing before we go. All right, who's going to win the Euros now? We've seen the draw for the last 16. It's fascinating because you've got all the good teams on one side. At least all the traditionally good teams on one side. And then you have all the
What are England doing there?
The nomads on the other side. So who's going to win? Who's going through?
I'm going to go, because I'm feeling like 2016 is a bit of like an underdogs kind of year.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this, especially because the one side's quite stacked. Means all the good teams are knocking themselves out, and eventually one good team will make it to the final against what should be a significantly weaker opposition. I think in that game, the significantly weaker opposition is going to defend really well. They're going to pack the box. They're going to score perhaps on a set piece, on a counter-attack or a breakaway. Maybe a 1-0, maybe a 2-1, maybe an extra time kind of dig. I'm going with... let's go for it. Let's go with Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, you nutter. At least pick Wales. They got Gareth Bale.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's the way that the team is going to win. I think, like Greece did in 2004, I think it's going to be an absolutely purely defensive performance, snatching it on like a set piece or perhaps a penalty kick or something like that.
Okay, fair enough. So, but which team is it? You got to pick one.
Oh, no, that's what I said, Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, right.
Either Ireland.
Either Ireland. Yeah, I mean, as I said to you before, Martin O'Neill is
Irish manager,
the Republic of Ireland, and he is, for those who don't know, he's a sensational tactician. He's used to having underdog teams and making them overperform, hence Republic of Ireland being in the last 16. So it's definitely a team to watch. But for my pick, I think Wales have this crazy self-belief and this never say die attitude that I think will put them over the top of Belgium, who I think they play in the last 16.
They're playing. They're playing Northern Ireland.
They're playing Northern Ireland, and then
and
if Belgium they get through,
are playing
that famous team.
Yeah.
but yeah, they'll play. That's right. They'll play Belgium in the quarters. But I think out of those two, Belgium and Wales, if they get through to the quarters, will decide who will get through to the final on that side.
It looks like it could be, yeah.
And I think on the other side, because I'm an idiot, I'm going with England. I'm going to get through to the final. It'd be England-Wales. That'd be amazing.
Germany are going to beat Iceland in the semifinals, and they're going to go on to play Northern Ireland, who beat... No, Belgium aren't going to win. Belgium are going to lose to Hungary, if they play. That's who they're playing. They're playing Hungary. Hungary are then going to lose to Northern Ireland, who beat Wales. And then Northern Ireland are also going to beat the other teams in that section. And then they're going to go on to beat Germany in the final match.
Even with Bollockgate, you think Germany can get through?
Ooh, I don't know.
No one's shaking hands with their coach anymore. but no, just
pat him on the arse.
Could you imagine, though, a Wales-England final?
Well, we've already beat them once. I'm not sure anyone else wants to do it again.
but it was a good game.
It was a game where Wales knew what they needed to do, and they did it quite well to begin with, and England shouldn't have conceded, and then the Welsh probably shouldn't have conceded either. As four goes, things happen, and you can't always prepare for them, you try your best. But I don't think England necessarily really deserved to win the game. They played more attacking, whereas the Welsh clearly said, we'll defend and see what we can do on the counter-attack.
Yeah.
Which is, fair enough to them. It doesn't mean that they deserve to win. England just didn't play well enough that I thought they deserved it. They just eked it.
Fair enough.
That's just my opinion.
All right. One last football-related question while we're here.
Yep.
Next week is the Canada Cup final. It's Whitecaps, Vancouver Whitecaps versus Toronto FC. Who's going to take home the Canada Cup this year?
Well, gun to my head, as you're doing... I'm going to go with Vancouver.
Yeah! Yeah! Well,
come on, team! Come on, Vancouver!
That's not the song. I know all the songs.
Whitecaps FC. We're the Whitecaps FC.
No one will ever join in my favourite chant, which
no one has Whitecaps like us.
If a player goes down, it's an old chant, but I think it's funny. But no one ever joins in, which is just going, shall we call her? Shall we call her? Shall we call your mum for you? Shall we call your mum for you? Which I think is, you know,
I think it's probably because people can't understand what you're saying.
Maybe that's what it is. Oh well. Alright, that's the end of our show. We're going to play one track to leave us tonight. It's a track we played before, but it's really good. So
might Traces. Well
just enjoy it. It sounded a bit like you said races.
Traces.
It is Traces. With
Traces.
Water Table. Alright, we'll see you next week. Join us then for another half hour of sketch comedy and another hour of us jibber jabbing and playing some kick-ass music. We'll see you then. Good night.